response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
And the governor joins us now from the great state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. Governor, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. How's everything been?
Hot. I'm sure you know that already.
It's hot. We've got some places that got too much water and some that don't have enough, I guess. I don't know.
Well, we started off this hurricane season, and obviously they had to send this little tropical storm, Arthur, with 14 identified tornadoes down here, and it doesn't bode well for the rest of the summer, I guess, if this is the way we're going to start out, right?
Well, I'm hoping that was just a reminder that that is hurricane season, and we'll have it'll just be dull for the rest of the year.
Let's hope. Well, one thing that wasn't dull was the legislative session. Let's talk about that. It recently ended. For you, if you would, talk about your highlights and also talk about your disappointments.
Look, we had a lot of positive things come out of the legislative session. We did some workers' comp reform, things that hasn't been reformed in 30-something years. You know, we've really been touching things that have struggled to be able to be fixed over, you know, decades now. We worked on the court system in Orleans Parish. One of the things that I think that kind of really took a little bit of the synchronization out of the session was the Colley decision that came down. You know, at the beginning of my term, a federal judge told us we had to create two minority-majority districts. I did that. The Supreme Court told us we didn't have to now, so then we went back. And so, you know, we've kind of been caught in between these federal courts. I think that the Supreme Court has finally answered the question, and I think has saved the state of Louisiana a lot of litigation expense moving forward. That really upended a lot of the synchronization that we were having inside of the session. Of course, you know, our teacher's amendment failed, which really, you know, caused us to have to really look hard into how we were going to give teachers a particular pay raise. The highlight in the session was the ending of the inspection sticker, which I think everybody seems to want across the state. But there were a lot of good things that we've done, some things that we weren't able to accomplish. But all in all, I would say that, you know, I'd give us an A.
How frustrated are you? I know you've made several attempts, and I would say that even towards the end of the session, started to contemplate maybe something a little bit more exotic on how to give teachers a pay raise.
Yeah, you know, it has been frustrating, and it's been difficult to try to read, the voters and the citizenry out there. I mean, what we put out in front of them twice now was a very responsible Dave Ramsey-type amendment that basically took money that's just sitting there earning very little in interest and using that amount to pay this retirement debt and save the interest payments and then use that savings to give teachers a pay raise. And it's been twice rejected by the voters, and it leaves you kind of head scratching saying, okay, so like, where do we go now? We know that teacher pay needs to be raised. And then, so when we started looking into the data, you know, knew what you recognize. I took a point in time, which I thought was interesting. I took the year I graduated high school in 1988 from a public high school. And I said, okay, what were teachers making in 1988? How much were we paying per student to educate them? What was the overall number of students, public school students in the system? And then where are we today? And when you look at that data, it is striking. Number one, we've got 110,000 less public school students today than we did when I graduated. We are paying double the amount. Again, and we calculated that amount based upon inflation. So in today's dollars, we're spending twice as much money today as we did in 1988. And yet teacher pay has actually, when adjusted for inflation, gone down. And so I looked at it, I was like, well, that's where the money's at. So It's time for these school boards to really take a look at where they're spending money and start to prioritize the revenue that they're taking in to place it in the classroom so that we get the outcomes we all want out of our educational system.
How much latitude do local school boards actually have with dollars that are coming down from the state?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And here's what I can tell you is that the MFP, which is the Minimum Foundation Program, has not been reformulated, okay, or reformed since 1993. And I can tell you, me and you both know that a lot has changed since 1993. And, you know, I credit the Senate President Cameron Henry came up with an idea to create a task force to put a resolution in place and take a hard look at the MFP formula. And so going back to your question, the flexibility of those schools to some extent is based upon the formula, but I do believe they've got a much greater latitude in defining their expenses. Again, it's a reprioritization. It's putting the money where your priorities are. The other thing too, you know, Noo, I think this exercise is going to be real important because we may hear from school boards and say, guess what, legislature? Let me give you a laundry list of statutes under which you mandated things on us, but you didn't fund them. I am eagerly waiting to see if that is a very extensive list so that we can take that to the legislature and unshackle those school boards from those unfunded mandates. You know, those are things we complain about in our nation's capital by Congress coming in and putting unfunded mandates on our states. And so the state shouldn't be putting unfunded mandates on the locals.
It always occurred to me that, you know, we refer to this as a system, but truthfully, it's anything but that, right? I mean, there's so many different layers and so much discretion that can be acted upon by those layers. And I think I've sensed the frustration for you as it relates to the teacher pay raise because we're not really operating as a system. You know, we're bringing together pieces and parts and parching this and parching that and trying to satisfy and appease all of the integrated parts of this that we're not acting as a system.
You know, it's a very good point. It's probably not a good word to use that it is a system. You're right. I mean, you got to remember, teachers are not state employees, right? They don't get their checks are not signed by the state government. We don't appropriate all of teacher pay inside of state government. Now, the sad part is that you're right. Those layers have in some ways been conflated and confused. I mean, at a time when the teacher retirement system was on the verge of bankruptcy or insolvency, the state of Louisiana took an obligation on. And since that time, those school boards, I believe, have just leaned on the state instead of saying, okay, this is the amount of resources that we have. We want to prioritize those things, prioritize them, fund them within your means. And if there are ways under which the state can be of assistance, then those are the cases that they can make in Baton Rouge. But you're right. And untangling it is going to cause some discomfort, but I think it's a healthy exercise.
So was there any other challenges that you saw this year in the legislative session that you were somewhat frustrated with?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, I think redistricting really, you know, kind of clouded a lot of the things that we were trying to get done. Again, I think that the session as a whole was extremely, you know, successful. I mean, we've done so many big things, you know, Noo, that's the interesting part. We have tackled so many of the problems that our citizens have complained about for so long. And we did it in a very short time that we're really trying to find our footing to make sure that the things that we actually touched and the way that we've reformed those things, we've done it in a positive way, or if they're going to require additional, you know, fine tuning. But again, unless it's something I'm thinking of that maybe amiss? I mean, what have you heard back? What is the feedback that you've heard from the citizenry out there and the things that we've done during the session?
Not a lot, actually. I mean, that's why I asked the question of you. You know, everybody's always got some disappointments in a session. Everybody wants it their way. You know, I mean, you know that. You've been around long enough. I've been around long enough. I mean, you know, so it kind of is. It is what it is. I mean, I know I could sense that going back to the pay raise that y'all were very frustrated because, if you know, trying multiple different ways to get this to work with the complete and total understanding that there are restricted dollars. And you don't always like to get involved in exotic financing schemes, but sometimes you don't have a choice if you want to accomplish certain things, right?
Right. And I think here's the very, very important salient point that seems to be missing in a lot of the news reports. The legislature and I are in no way cutting education. The amount of money that has been appropriated to fund education is not being diminished or reduced. What we're doing is trying to encourage those school boards to reprioritize and to fund those things which are the most important, which really start inside of the classroom. And so that exercise, you know, we ended up achieving the amount of requisite votes necessary to have the MFP reduced by a certain amount. But that reduction, it's important to understand, is going back into the school system. So no money is leaving the educational system or leaving the school systems. And so it's going to be interesting. You know, I'll tell you, here's the good news. Okay, like, and it's taking a little bit of a while, but we have never seen the amount of economic investment that we are experiencing right now ever in this state. And we've got more announcements to come, and they're spread out across the state. But here's the important thing for listeners to understand. You can't spend $100 billion, $150 billion. I think it's going to top $200 billion. I really do, before the end of my term. You can't spend that amount of money in any portion of the state, much less in different portions of the state, and it not impact every citizen of the state in a very positive way. And so, you know, again, we're going to just keep working to messaging those things out. Sure, we're having some setbacks, but you know, I'm about as stubborn as you know. We're going to keep working on it until we solve the problems.
So let's talk about this for a second. You announced the Exxon deal yesterday. How big of a deal is that in your perspective?
That's a huge deal. I mean, look, you know, when I started this legislative session, when I started this term, and when I started my first term as Attorney General, we continued to hear from a lot of people that our legal environment was terrible, and that we needed to improve it. And the oil and gas industry was really suffering because of a legal environment. And in three short years, we ended the legacy lawsuit legal environment. The legislature and I worked, and last year we signed into law, a series of statutes that have been, the industry had been trying to get done for 30-something years. We cleaned that, we took that off the table. And at the same time, we ended up coming to resolutions with Shell, BP, Conoco. I announced Conoco, I think it was either at the beginning of this year or right at the end of last year. I think it was the beginning of this year. And now we've met a resolution with Exxon. And I got to tell you, the Exxon resolution, I'm extremely pleased with, because a big chunk of the money is going to be used to abate and to clean up our orphan well list along the coast. We've got 1,088 orphan well sites, which are an eyesore for our citizens and really fall on the state to have to be able to clean up. And Exxon's going to step up and help us take care of a big chunk of that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar. I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a huge accomplishment. It's something that I've talked about on this show for a long, long time. I don't understand why the state hadn't been able to get all over that issue. Continues to be a challenge. It's a safety hazard. It's a whole bunch of different things. It's an environmental hazard as well. And it just makes common sense that would be part of the overall system to get accomplished, right?
Oh, it is. And I tell you, at some point in time, me and you are going to have to maybe come on and spend an hour with you kind of talking through that, because we're getting ready to make some, I think, some major changes over the coming years in our statutes and exactly how oil and gas activity is takes place in this state in a way that's absolutely positive for the industry, but doesn't leave us with the legacy issues we've dealt with in the past. And it's by looking at other states, other legacy states like Texas and Oklahoma and others, in a way that they regulate the industry. And I think we can do it, and we can ensure that we're going to learn from the sins of the past. How about that?
Yeah. Do you have another minute or so?
Oh, yeah, I got plenty of time. Yeah, I thought you might be cutting me off. But, yeah,
No, I thought they told me that you had 15, so I was just being mindful and respectful of your time. Let me ask you, there's been a lot of controversy down here with the Southeast Louisiana Flood Authority. It's kind of been mystifying to me that a board that's, does important work, obviously, levies, not a big money situation or anything else, but it seems like there's these little intricate details that they're getting caught up in and can't seem to get out of, and they seem to be stuck on stuck. I had the AG on the other day. There were allegations made that the AG was holding a report for political purposes. You know her. I know her. I doubt that very seriously. She denied it. And she even made the observation, Liz, that is that, this board seems to be caught in controversy with everything that they do. Your thoughts, and are you willing to get involved and get this thing straightened up?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It has been very, very frustrating. I mean, it seems like this board has been kind of like, cursed since the beginning. Look, we all knew the reasons that the board came into existence after Katrina. I can tell you that when I took over as governor, there were some things that needed to be addressed. I think there had been some complacency in the particular system. People had sat on that board for a long time. I think that the one thing that I think is a bit of a hindrance is exactly how the names come to the governor as to how he or she gets to choose the people that sit on those particular boards. I share the frustration with the attorney general. There's been an investigation done. There is a report. The board should release the report. I haven't specifically called them and say release it, because I've kind of been trying to let them govern themselves. There seems to be some difference of opinions and character difference between particular board members. People have resigned. People have left. It really is a shame. The one thing that I do know that is a positive, though, I think that the system is intact. Also believe that the other part of the system, which is the law enforcement component that had been somewhat downgraded, was vitally needed in the Lakeview area at a time when we know that the NOPD has been struggling for manpower. And I think that them stepping up certainly helped us from a public safety perspective. And so I'm hoping that we are making some new changes. There are some new board members coming on. I think we're going to be making a new chairman selection soon. That maybe we can put some of that controversy behind us. And I'll say this, for the people who were serving, the people who have left, I don't think anyone was doing anything maliciously. I think there's just been a lot of difference of opinion. So hopefully we can get that
I would agree.
And get the that board functioning properly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's almost as if, and look, I know all these folks. You know them all. They're all well-intentioned individuals. But I don't think they know enough about how the government rules operate and why they operate the way that they do and why you have to do certain things in certain ways. And they keep stepping on these landmines. And I'm like, well, who's advising you? I mean, you cannot keep stepping on these landmines. I mean, it's craziness, and it's over stupid things, too. And then you everybody gets all sideways with one another over these issues. And I don't know if it's just, you know, the rules of the board, the bylaws of the board, how that works. It would seem to me that there would be an interest in standardizing more of the bylaws of all of these boards in the state, quite frankly, to make sure that they're in compliance with the rules that are out there.
Well, and I think that's part of the tension. Look, 3 years ago, we came in with an attitude that we were going to streamline our boards and commissions. We were going to work to reduce the overall numbers of boards and commissions across the state. And we've done that very methodically. And we've changed some of the structure that was in there. And those things, of course, you know, when people are doing things a certain way, they don't like the change or they're resistant to the change.
Absolutely.
And so I'm hoping that's part of it. You know, I really do.
Well, I'm sure it is. I mean, that's always part of it, right? And when administrations change, there's always, you know, all kinds of unintended disruption. But the reality is, I think it's fair to say this has gone on too long, right?
Yes, I do. I do. And I hope in some of the changes we're going to make in the coming months will settle it out. If not, you give me a call and I'll come back on the show and maybe. And again, I think they should release the report. I don't know why they don't, if they can.
Yeah, that's been, a lot of people are mystified by that, Governor. Governor, thank you so much for the time. Actually, I would like to take you up on the opportunity to spend a time maybe in studio for an hour to talk about a whole host of things. Because I think a lot of times things get sideways as it hits the media as to what is the reason behind this, that, or otherwise, and have a much better opportunity to talk it through.
Absolutely. I think that, yeah, let's, I'll make sure we plan on doing that. We'll do it, you know, as in the coming months. Be great. Do it in the fall.
Great. Absolutely. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate the time. Jeff Landry, governor of the great state of Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870. We'll go to the talk lines. Give us a shout when we return. This is Newell on WWL.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.